Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And I'm Laure Magui from the Android Framework team.
And I'm Jean-Michel Trivi from the Android Media team.
Welcome. Chet's chillaxing today.
Right. Today, Chet is not here. And so we decided to go ahead and have a podcast without him anyway, because we don't really need him. I'm still planning on having a French-only podcast one of those days when he's not
around.
Yeah,
well, it's 2-1 right now.
That's right.
French accent okay today.
Yes. So what do you work on?
I have the pleasure of working on lots of little different things, both in the Android framework and on Nexus and Pixel devices that Google has released. So I work on Java APIs, like high-level Java APIs that maybe some of the listeners have used. I work on some device drivers, like the audio framework, and sometimes a little bit on the hardware itself.
Right. So audio, I've heard of that.
Right. And you've been working on audio. When did you join the Android team? Because as far as I can remember, you've been around.
I started working on Android in July of 2008.
All right. So that's
the first release.
So that was, right, that was before Android 1. So,
yeah.
All right. So you've been around for every single release of Android.
I've worked on every single device that Google has released, yes.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. And so, you've been working on the audio team the whole time, right?
I've been working on, the same team, great folks, and it's just been expanding. And
so what was your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert, tough question. I think it's more, I'm more tied to the devices, because typically that's what, like we know like the things that we want to release, and then it's more like working with we've worked with over the years with different companies, with Motorola, with Samsung, HTC, like lots of different companies from all over the world. So you learn a lot. I think I have a really good memory about the Zoom tablet. It was the first time we had a pretty good sounding device, and that was pretty loud and clear.
Right. Well, and with a tablet, you finally could have big speakers, right?
You finally have stereo speakers, even. So that was nice.
Right. So that's interesting. So what makes it so challenging to have good speakers in a phone?
Well, you always like the laws of physics have not changed, and you
damn
need to for loud and clear sound, you need to move a lot of air, and you probably know like big speakers have more bass than small speakers. And when you think about it, the speakers on the phone, they're like, compare that to the tweeter on your hi-fi speakers. Like tweeter probably like the size of a few fingers. Like the speakers on your mobile device, they have to play all frequencies, not just what the tweeter outputs. And they have to do that pretty loud and be very, very small. So they're called micro speakers. And so that's a challenge in itself. You also, they're submitted to quite a few like changes in humidity and temperature, so they can easily like they can degrade over time, and so that's the challenge. Just to begin with, the acoustics, and then you combine that with having a thin and sleek phone, where real estate is very expensive, and so going from like doing stereo speakers, not just one speaker. Takes a lot of engineering in terms of where are you going to put the speaker itself, but also the air cavity that creates the that backs up the speaker, and that's in cell phone design, it's space is at a premium, and that's always a compromise between aesthetics and audio performance.
Right, because I remember you once told me that, you know, this in front of your phone there's a speaker grill. But the speaker is actually just a tiny part of that, right?
Ooh, you're revealing trade secrets. Unfortunately, the speakers are not as big like as the speaker grill. For instance, the speaker grill is also used to to conceal microphones because they need to be somewhere. So there is some space for that. There is some required distance between microphone and speaker. And then you have, behind this mesh, which can be cloth or metal, depending on the construction, you will have an opening that leads to what we call a waveguide that leads to the speaker. So the speaker is not necessarily, not always, right behind the speaker grill that you see. There's a waveguide, basically a tube of more or less complex shapes, and those shapes and their size and the surface will have a huge impact on the audio performance.
Does the waterproofing introduce problems for this?
Yes, it does, because it's more membranes that you have to put in front of the speaker, and it will limit the output, like how loud you can drive the speaker. So yes, it is a challenge. There's been some cool designs. There are some brands that have pretty good sounding waterproof phones, but there's a cost in terms of the fidelity. And also the size of the phone.
Yeah, it's interesting because there are different ways of building speakers. I know there was a phone that did that. I don't remember which one, but last week I was shopping for new TVs and I saw there's a Sony TV that uses the whole panel, like the whole screen of the TV is the speaker effectively. So it's also one way of creating sound. And I think it was it Xiaomi or... I don't remember. There was a phone that was using a similar technique, I think.
So it's been a technology that actually has been around longer than you'd think, but it's always a challenge to tune. I remember I first saw that in an Audio Engineering Society exhibit in New York in 99, and they had speakers, they had posters that were talking. Like, wow. And it was just this little module in the back that was using the whole surface of the poster, and just a piece of paper on the cardboard that was using that as the membrane.
You can actually buy small Bluetooth speakers that do that. You put them on a window or a table and choose that. It vibrates that surface to act as a speaker. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, and it comes from everywhere. And it's big sound fidelity is like you wouldn't want to listen to jazz through that,
but depending on the jazz.
But when tuned, it can be if you tune it for voice, for instance, it can make for a great experience.
What's this tuning you're talking about? I know that music producers, they'll sit and they'll listen to something in the studio and it sounds fantastic, but then it never gets played on speakers like that. It gets played on pretty terrible.
It's like graphics when you use a calibrated display versus not.
Exactly. And so I know that, the top producers will then listen to their mix sort of on these horrible speakers and actually tune so that, the bass and all that stuff actually sounds legit on the medium where most people will consume it. What do you have to do for a phone?
So the phone is always a compromise. Like compare your hi-fi speakers to your, which are also are not as nice as what they would have in the studio. Like the phone is a compromise. So you need to make sure that you have to take into account the limitations of the speakers. You're not going to get chest pounding 20 hertz low frequencies from a phone. So you have to
unless
take that
it's
into
a 25 inch screen on that phone.
So you have to take into account those because you're shooting for longevity and also intelligibility. So you want to make sure that like speech comes out clearly, that you don't have distortion.
So when you say take into account, does that mean you're doing audio processing to change the shape of the audio?
You do. There is typically something that happens in the DSP, and you will do. You have a set of filters, equalize the sound, but also you have to use a technique called compression. So compression is not like data compression where we want to reduce like how much data is used by the sound. It's the concept of reducing the dynamic range of the signal. So we want to reduce the difference between the soft signals and the loud signals. And when you listen to a hi-fi speaker, you will have very big dynamic range. You can go from soft to very loud, like in a movie, the soft dialogue to an explosion.
Listeners may be familiar with that if they have TVs or receivers. Sometimes they have
they have a midnight mode that will compression. So
or classical music really typically has some really soft parts, and you turn it up, and then all of a sudden here comes the orchestra.
So classical music is okay in your living room with no one sleeping in the bedroom next door, but when you listen to that in the car, the dynamic range that you have in your car is much more limited because of the background noise. So you have to use compression. So compression monitors like what is the level of the signal, and it will try to boost the parts that are soft and will try to reduce the parts that are too loud. So
typically, over what time frame?
It's like a look ahead of like a few milliseconds, and you will. So you have different types of adaptation. You have the short time, like very short term adaptation where you want to you want to prevent clipping, and then you have the longer term of okay, it seems that we're in a quiet passage and we can boost we can boost more safely. Okay. So you have like typically like multiple stages for the compression. Okay. And so you have to use that quite heavily on the phone because the dynamic range that you can have when playing over speakers is much more limited than what you would get playing on your headphones.
So you said this is done in the DSP, so that's part of the hardware for the speaker then?
Yes, because this is something that is not, like going back to Android, like this is not something that is, that you need, that is done the same way on different hardware. So this is typically done on, like below the Android framework.
And I see, so depending on which phone you buy, you're going to have different.
Like it's going to be affected by the size of the speaker, the type of speaker, the waveguides we were mentioning.
Yeah, and also the hardware you have. There are some, like one of the most interesting new technologies that has emerged over the past year to, like phones now, nowadays they sound better, they're louder and more clear and than just like 3 years ago. But also they have, over time, they sound better. Because there are new technologies where before we used to have processing followed by amplification, and now you have dedicated chips that are both a speaker amplifier and also do tuning and speaker protection. They monitor the movement of the coil, of the like the, how the membrane is moving, and it adapts. It prevents the it protects the speakers from itself. Like if it goes, like if you're driving it too hard, this chip can sense it and will directly like protect the speaker before the tuning that you've done. So even if you've boosted the bass, like hoping that you could get even like 100 hertz out of your phone speaker, this amplifier plus DSP all in one chip will protect the speaker from that. And the cool thing is that it does that over time. So as your speaker ages, or if you've driven it way too hard over time, then it will monitor like the fatigue of the speaker basically, and it will accommodate the how it drives it. So for instance, if you play something too loud for too long, the speaker will heat up. And its performance will decrease, so there will be more distortion. So this chip can sense that and will protect the speaker. But as your phone cools off, then it will restore the performance you had like an hour ago.
So then it'll live longer.
Yeah, it's the kind of features that you know we never think about, right? When we use our phones or if we're not audio people, and you think that so many things like that happen at every level for you know graphics and battery and whatnot. It's almost a miracle that we ship phones at all, considering how complex they are.
But the cool thing is that, so I've only talked about how constrained, like how compromised the experience is over speaker, even though it can be pretty good, especially for voice, like you can listen to radio or like YouTube videos. There's quite a bit you can do with phones, but there are no compromises on the digital output. Like if you're like on the latest Pixel devices, if you plug in USB headphones, for instance, or USB sound card, you have the unadulterated signal, no compromise, full dynamic range, all the frequencies, no compression. So you can have like the best fidelity out of your music or your videos.
So that's a good segue. So USB-C, the new Pixel 2 does not have a headphone jack anymore. And there's an adapter in the box. And the adapter is way more complex than just changing the shape of the plug, right?
So internally, I always joke that whenever people call it a dongle, I say nope, it's not a dongle. It's an external USB audio interface with a headphone amplifier.
So basically a sound card.
Yes. So this little thing does way more than you'd think, and it's all digital, like from your phone to this this sound card. It's a digital signal. It's a USB sound card, like you can buy like big ones for the studio or this tiny one that receives the signal and amplifies it for the headphone and drives like analog headphones. So there's it also recognizes button presses on. If you have headphones with the buttons, it has its output, of course, but also input. And so you can use the microphone on your analog headset. And the button presses are transformed into like key events, just like a USB keyboard would do.
Right, and that's why sometimes during the development, I remember like some of the early prototypes we had, like there were firmware updates that we had to do for.
Yes,
all those dongles, because they are much more than dongles.
You just called it a dongle again.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I did air quotes, but listeners can't hear my.
He's sitting too far from me. I cannot hit it.
They were sold out of those at the store, so I went on Amazon and bought some instead, and they didn't work on the Pixel 2.
So an adapter or USB?
It was a USB-C to headphone adapter that I bought, and I was very sad. You remember we had Benson, someone on the Chrome team, I guess, who used to rate USB cables. He should rate these adapters as well. Anyway, they're back in stock on the Google Store now, so I got one that works.
So there's in the market there are some. So you can't just trust the plug format. It's not because it looks like USB-C that it's. It's going to work because some companies have taken shortcuts to implement what they call analog over USB, but that's something that we didn't want to do in Android, and we're advising manufacturers against that because any solution that uses the analog over USB, quote unquote, is actually a compromise. It's a compromise in terms of audio quality. It's a compromise in terms of if it has an impact on transfer rates over USB, and it has there are a lot of noise issues. Like it will having analog signal next to digital signals is a bad idea. So there are compromises all over the chain for the sake of just making cheap accessories. So it's something that we're not like those adapters will not work on Pixel because that's not the quality standard we're shooting for.
Yeah, it wasn't even that much cheaper. I think it was $5 versus I think the one from Google's $9.
Yeah, maybe $9.99.
And I remember USB sound cards to be a lot more expensive last time I bought one. That was a while ago. Granted,
was that a Sound Blaster? It was a sound blaster.
Yes, they had this amazing external USB sound card because I was using laptops and we had a good sound card. And it was pretty cool. It was a standalone sound card, so it worked even without a computer.
Wow.
Hey, I worked on that.
I enjoyed it.
My life before 2008. And so back in the day before 2008, like desktop audio, you thought that was the most complicated thing you could do in audio. And now you look at phones, they basically do everything computers are doing and way more.
With less battery consumption.
Yes.
So that's for the hardware. But our listeners hopefully write software. They write code for Android. So are there any APIs that you'd like the listeners to be aware of? Like how do you use audio effectively on Android?
I actually have a question that sort of on top of that. This morning I was listening to music and then I switched to listening to a podcast. And when I pressed play in one app, it knew to pause the other. But sometimes when you listen to music and there's a sound effect, it doesn't pause the audio. So there must be some sort of API where the app gets to say, I'm a primary thing as opposed to I'm just mix on top of.
That's the audio focus, right?
All
right,
yes. So we're, I'm glad you asked. we can talk about audio focus. Before we talk about audio focus, I'd like to talk about a few things, and then we'll segue to audio focus because there's it's kind of an incentive to use some of the new APIs. Well, most of them that were introduced in Android L, and that where if you're using those APIs, you can reap the benefits like even more now as we progress in the framework. So the first I guess what I'm going to talk about is more if you're writing an application that will play any sound, the user has when they arrive on your application, whether it's a game, whether it's like social app, like if you're going to play something, it's good to set up your activity so that when the user has your app in the foreground and they use the volume buttons, they will control the right stream type.
Oh, thanks for saying that, because there are so many times where I launch a game and you see the splash screen, you know sound is coming, you want to like turn it down really quickly. And changes the sound of the ringtone.
And so there is a very simple solution to that that works since API level 1, which is...
So there's no excuse.
There's no excuse. In the activity class, there is a method called setVolumeControlStream that lets you specify which stream type is going to be controlled by the hardware buttons when your app is in the foreground.
So what are the stream types, for instance?
So what are the stream types? So the stream types, the way they were introduced in API 1, they bundle together a bunch of behaviors. They bundle like what volume is going to be applied to your sound. So when you play a sound, let's say the media player class, you can specify the volume of the sound that you're going to play. The volume that you apply on your media player is a relative volume compared to the rest of the platform. So think of it as, let's say you're implementing a game and you're going to have a sound that is your footsteps and a sound that is your gunshot. You want to have quiet footsteps and gunshot playing as it was recorded. You can use the media player set volume to lower the volume of your footsteps relative to the gunshot. So this is what we call track volume. So when we refer to track, it's like every individual sound. But those sounds, they all belong to a category. And like for a game, for music, this is all media that you're playing. They're all going to be under the, so it's an unfortunate name now, under the stream music stream type. So every sound that you play is going to be... is going to be affected by the stream music volume. That's something that's platform-wide. And so if you go from your game to Google Play Music, it's this same volume that's going to be applied. But then you can further attenuate that sound with the individual player sound. So we've had stream types since the beginning of Android. One issue is that they bundle too many things at the same time. So examples of stream types are stream music, stream alarm, stream ring. So that's for your ringtone volume. But they those stream types, they bundle both a volume, they bundle a routing, and they bundle a use case. Like they describe what you want to do with your sound. So that worked for a while, but then once we started working on, we started thinking about what it is to have Android in cars, we had limitations because if you have sat nav in your car, you may have heard that sometimes like the driving directions coming from navigation, they're not routed the same way as your music.
Maybe so by routed, you mean like which speaker you use to?
So they would come, for instance, only on the driver's side, whereas the music will come for wherever. And there's no stream type for navigation. And you'd think, oh, okay, well, navigation, you'd want to play it at the same volume as media, but it's a different use case and it's a different routing. So are we going to add more stream types? But stream types are for volumes. So in Android L, we introduced the notion of audio attributes. Now, audio attributes are a way of describing your use case. An audio attribute basically has two fields. It has a usage and a content type. The usage is, why are you playing this sound? So we have a whole bunch of usage. We have media, we have alarm, so kind of similar to stream types, but we have way more.
But it's just about the usage. It's not routing and volume.
That describes like why are you playing this? So driving directions, for instance, is one usage. We have different types of notifications and ringtones. We have accessibility. We have one dedicated for the assistant.
I can already in my head now imagine that, you know, when I get the next version of Android, and when I press the volume thing, I'm going to get a dialogue with 51 volume sliders, one for each use case.
That's a good question, because we are here we're describing the intent of what is this audio played for, but it doesn't describe like at what volume we're going to play it. That's we have groups of mapping usage to the stream volume, and there is a method in the audio attribute class. If you want to know if I play something with these audio attributes, what is the volume control, the stream type that matches these audio attributes. So that was for the usage field. Like it allows you to give information about why you're playing this sound. The other field is the content type. And content type can be speech, can be a movie, music, and what we call sonification is basically like beeps and bloops.
Yeah, sound effects.
Sound effects. And this is used to describe what is in the sound that you're playing. So if you're playing a podcast, like a content like this, the usage would be media and the content type would be speech. Having the framework know whether there's speech or music that is played is important because it can help us tune the experience with regards to audio focus. For instance, if I'm playing, if driving directions are playing, or if I'm listening to an audiobook and I have a notification that comes in, I don't want depending on how long the notification is, it can like be played over words that are spoken that you wouldn't hear. So when you have a notification, but while speech is playing, you would want to pause the speech. If you have a notification that comes while music is playing, it's okay to duck the music. That duck means lowering the level of the music. So you want to do, the framework can be smarter about the right behavior for the user when playing sounds that are not of your control. Like you just worry about playing this media or outputting the audio for your game. You don't know what's going to be played concurrently. It's going to be driving directions, it's going to be notifications, things like that. So by properly tagging all your sounds with the right audio attributes, then you can, the framework knows about
that's
what is going on in the
system.
Because
I did notice in my car when I get a notification, and I usually listen to podcasts or music, I noticed there were different behaviors of like whether it was pausing the content or playing over, right. And that explains why, and that makes sense.
So Google Play Music can play podcasts and can play music. It will appropriately use one. It will change the content type. It's still playing media, so the usage is still media, but the content type differs, and you will hear a different behavior between the two. So the content type is useful for the automatic handling of audio focus by the framework, and so that's the it's also used by accessibility. So people with who are blind, for instance, who are using screen readers, they rely on the whole accessibility framework, and the accessibility framework will make decisions on how to play, how to read what's on the screen for the user based on the content that is being played. So you're by properly tagging your all your sounds with audio attributes, you're making your application, like if you just test with your application playing, you're not seeing a difference. What you're doing, you're improving how your application works with the rest of the system. So maybe it's a good time to start talking about audio focus.
I just want to emphasize what you just said really quickly, because that's something that applies to so many things on Android. Like your app does not run in a vacuum, you know, like it's the tragedy of the commons. Like, you know, it's a village basically, and apps have to live with other things running on the system. And audio is clearly a part where you have to be careful about.
Absolutely. And for instance, so we can talk about audio focus, but it's the same. The same thing with how you handle key events. Like you can, when you receive keys, you can trap the key event or say, I'm not processing that, on to the next app. If you're writing a media app and you receive key events for play, pause, you want to trap those and not have some other app respond and... because that can lead to weird behaviors, not for your app, but all of a sudden you can have some other app in the background that would start playing, and that's not the behavior you want. So in general, it's always good to test your application as a real user would do, like concurrently with other applications that are playing sound, other applications that are playing notifications.
Right. Yeah, so typically it's going to be notification, navigation.
Yeah, Yeah, those are and transitioning from one app to another. Like you start another app, and like let's say your app is playing in the background. You start another app. Is your application doing the right thing? So through audio focus, for instance. So what is audio focus? We've talked about
what is audio focus.
I don't know. So audio focus is a concept that was introduced in API 8. So it's been around quite a while. Like beginning of Android, like we're happy. Hey, we have media apps playing. That's great. But then there are more and more apps, and how do they live together? And like, how do you have one music player stop when you start another? Like we needed to have a mechanism. So we could have gone just with like intents and, but then it's kind of a free for all. Like you want this, there's some hierarchy to the way you, what you expect the user to listen to. And that's where the concept of audio focus came in. So audio focus is the notion, embodies the notion that the user is listening to one main thing. There's one source of audio that the listener is focused on. And but we recognize that in some cases, there are you could have two things playing at the same time. For instance, I'm listening to music and I have driving directions coming in. So I don't want, it's okay to have the music playing in the background, but at a lower volume while the driving directions are being spoken, the driving directions end, and the music needs to play back at its normal level. Same thing with a notification. You can have a notification with music playing in the background, but you don't want notification or driving direction while you're listening to a podcast or an audiobook. Audio focus helps us orchestrate all those transitions between applications across the system. So there are different types of audio focus that you can request. When you're playing media, you're playing a game, you don't know how long the user is going to play that. It has started. This is the main thing that the user is doing, is watching a YouTube video or playing a game. So you can request audio focus just as you want to gain audio focus. That's the strongest way of requesting audio focus. When you do that, what happens is that any other application that previously had audio focus will receive through its audio focus listener will receive a signal that it lost focus. And so when you request with a gain focus, the app will know that I've lost focus for good. So because this is a like open-ended media session happening, like I should stop playing. So that's also what you need to do. If you use audio focus, it's a good form to also have a focus listener and respond to those events. So imagine your media app is playing and you get a loss, of focus, you need to stop playing. That's what the user expects. Examples of losses of focus are like another app requests focus, but it can also be a phone call starts, and that will be a loss of focus. But the phone call is slightly different. The phone call is or Skype or Hangouts. We know that it's bounded in time, and it was an interruption for the user. So this gain of focus by the telephone app or your voice over IP app is not going to last forever. That's the assumption that it is transient.
Some calls feel like it.
And so when this transient request of focus ends, you can resume. Like, you're listening to music. There's a phone call that comes. It's a transient, so you're losing focus transiently. You can,
and then it's up to the app to stop playing. So it's not being enforced by the system. So
no.
A badly behaving app could continue to blast rock music while you're on the.
So a badly behaving app could continue playing during your phone call. That was the case until Android O. In O, we had to take a stand for the user and say, if you're still playing when the phone call starts, we're going to mute you. And we're going to unmute you at the end of the at the playback. So one could think, oh, that's great, the framework is doing it for me, but it's not, because what happens is while the user is in a phone call, your app is going to consume power, is going to consume data.
You also keep going through the music. You don't stop where you were.
Yeah. So. The good practice, and we have documents in the documentation for Audio Focus, and if you look at Audio Focus Request class, we have documentation that describe like the behaviors that I'm describing right now. So if you are playing when you lose focus transiently, remember that you were playing so that when you get back the focus, you can resume playback.
So developers might not notice they're doing this now because it's being muted for them, so you won't...
Right, but if they
test
on...
a strict mode
violation? But you might notice because, like I was saying, you know, it keeps going, right? Like, so for a podcast...
If they're testing with a podcast, they would know.
Or even a song, like, you know that you're going to, you know...
Songs are pretty repetitive, Romain.
True, but you might notice the skip. Anyway.
It might be the next song when you're done with the phone call. So that's for the transient loss. And then there's the other type of loss that when I was describing the driving directions where it's okay to have music playing at a lower volume. So up until O, so it's also a signal that the application received. You're told that you're losing focus transiently and that you're allowed to duck. So duck means lowering your output.
Also, the apps are the ones doing that. It's not being done by the system.
So up until O, it was the responsibility of the app. In O, we wanted to make the life of a developer easier and also harmonize how much we attenuate each sound that gets ducked.
As an app, how do you know, like, how to lower the volume? How much should
we realized it didn't, and that's something that we wanted to correct.
Okay.
So typically we use an attenuation of 14 dBs. That's enough for music, like you will hear driving directions over music attenuated by that much. That's quite a bit. Like, remember 6 dB, that's you multiply all your audio samples by 0.5. So mm-hmm. That's even like, that's way more.
So if apps were already ducking pre-O and then now you're applying a ducking on top of it, would that be multiplicative or?
No, because what happens is that the framework, in all the cases where the framework recognizes that it can do it itself, it will not tell the app that it has lost focus transiently in a situation where it could duck.
Okay, that's nice.
But if the audio that you were playing was speech, the framework recognizes that and says, oh, I'm going to tell you because you, the app, know better what to do in this circumstance. So if you're
So it's possible for a speech app to also duck behind navigation instructions?
No, the framework will see that there is speech playing because the app properly tagged properly used audio attributes, and it will send a call back to the application because the application knows better in this case. So that's how you can do behaviors like you will pause your playback because you know you're because you were playing speech, and you can do things like, oh, if the phone call lasts an hour, I'm gonna rewind a little bit, yeah, or do things like that.
So it's nice
up to you. So you still have the control, but in the cases where it's not speech, then the framework will handle it. We also recognize that some applications are using multiple focus requests within their app. An example of that is Chrome. Chrome has uses one audio focus like per tab. So that's actually how they orchestrate between the tabs. They will use audio focus. So if when you're doing that and you're using audio focus like within your application, we also recognize that if the winner and loser of audio focus is within the same app, then we still give you the callback, and you don't have to fear any like automatic behaviors from the framework.
Okay, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's one of those areas where if you don't, you know, if you never do audio in your application, you don't realize like how much there is there and how complicated it can be, and it's all pretty cool stuff.
A good way to test your audio focus is you have to try other apps and do what the user will do. They will transition to another app. Like with your app playing in the background, they will go and start another one. Are you correctly responding to your focus loss?
Is audio focus also what controls what happens? You know, if I drive to work in the morning, when I get back to my car in the evening, the podcast I was listening to in the morning like starts automatically. That's because it was the last app to have the audio focus, or?
So the whole topic of that's not related to audio focus. That's more, there's one behavior that can be annoying or super practical with cars is what the cars does when you connect to it.
Yeah.
Some car kits will automatically, after a connection, they will send a play signal directly. And then it's just like, imagine you're plugging a headset and you're pressing the play button. It's exactly the same thing.
What app, how do we know what app will receive that play signal? Like, so, is it in the order of the last apps that played sound? Or?
This is typically handled by the media session mechanism. And if you if you're a media app, and so you're using the media session API, like you will register a media session that will make you eligible for receiving those buttons, and that's the mechanism through which it will go. One quick thing that I forgot to mention about audio focus is when you request audio focus, also like to be a well-behaved app, there is a response that's given. When the system tells you whether your focus request was granted or not. It's important to pay attention to that response, because ignoring it may mean that you're being a bad citizen. When the framework will like the main situation where a request of audio focus is denied is if you're in a phone call. So if you're or in the case of cars, it can be that the car is playing like an important safety message or like an OnStar after an accident or things like that. So it's important to look at the what value is returned by your request of audio focus. That to be a good citizen.
So what should you do if you're denied a request?
Typically, you shouldn't play. It means the system is telling you, you can't. There's something more important going on. This is not the right moment. So there are two situations. If you're in the phone call, there are how to detect you're in a phone call. There are telephony. There are dedicated APIs for telephony to know whether you're in a phone call or not. So if you want to make decisions as to, okay, I'll ignore audio focus. Like the framework is not going to prevent you from playing anything in a phone call. There might be legitimate use cases. You can detect with the phone state listener whether you are in a phone call or not and make an informed decision as to whether you will ignore the request of audio focus. But if you're trying to play something and you'd like to know, so I can't play now, so when can I play? You can make, you can put that in your audio focus request. You can say that in the builder of your audio focus request, there's a method to say I'm okay to be delayed. And when you make your request, the return value will indicate that it was denied, but hold on a second, we'll tell you when it's okay. Don't call us, we'll call you, type of API, and you will get a call back later to say, now it's okay, you have audio focus.
So reminding your podcast player, what they could do is, you know, they request the audio, they get the denial back, then they put another request in with that flag to play Final Countdown 5 minutes from now.
Don't give them ideas.
All right. Are there any mistakes you see typically made by application developers that they should be aware of?
Yes. And so speaking of audio focus, like the typical one is applications that will request audio focus when they don't necessarily mean to request it. Like if you have a game game where you explore the world and collect things and shoot at others, for instance, and you want that to be running in the background, and from time to time you will play something. Make the playback compatible with the duration of your playback. Don't always like just request audio focus to just play a sound and then abandon it. Like if you're playing something transiently, tag it as transiently. Otherwise, what happens is like the user is playing your game. They have music and they listen to music at the same time. All of a sudden, music will stop. And music will stop because you've requested audio focus, like with just a gain of audio focus, not something transient. And either you will not abandon audio focus, or even if you abandon it, you had requested it with gain, the other apps will not resume. So if you're playing something transiently, especially if you're playing something in the background, use gain transient to indicate that this is really transient, and abandon audio focus when you're done. So that's probably one of the biggest issue.
And if you're going to play a lot of sounds in your game, please, first thing you should do in your activity is request focus so we can turn down the volume.
And use the set volume control stream to say...
If you can tell that the user is traveling on public transit, if you can like mute all the game sounds, that'd be fantastic too. There are people who sit on the train with full blast, you know, sound effects on their game, you know, oblivious to the fact that everyone else is having to suffer through it.
Give those people headphones. If the developers went through the trouble of crafting a soundscape for their game, like let them enjoy it. But that being said, that's a really good segue for another mistake that I see often is using stream types as your application volume. So as I said earlier, stream types are used for volume, but for the whole platform. So when you change the volume of stream music, you're changing it for any other media app that will come after you or concurrently with you. And one mistake that I see sometimes is that application developer they put a mute button in their app, and what it does is that it sets the media volume to zero, the music volume to zero. So all of a sudden, all the like your music app is not playing anymore because it's muted. So do not forget that stream volumes are for the whole platform. Another mistake I've seen is on Stack Overflow, it was like somebody asked, "How do I disable touch sounds on my application?" And the highest ranked answer was, well, set system sounds to zero. And no, that disables it. Like the user had system sounds. It's okay to design an application where there will be no touch sounds for your UI. But there are other ways of doing it, like through the XML, you can disable sound effects, but do not treat the volume controls as your app volume control. They're for all the system.
Right. As always, your app is part of a whole ecosystem and users who are not using just your app.
Exactly.
I remember having a problem where whenever I would click on a link to open YouTube, I'd go, oh, here comes YouTube. Let me turn on the volume before it gets loud around me. But I started pressing the down button as YouTube is starting to load the video, but it's not modifying the media volume. It's modifying the ringtone. But I feel like that was fixed or improved somehow. So was that an application fix or is that a system fix?
So this was a new behavior in O, is that even if you have... very easy way to try that is you go in the home screen, you touch the volume controls, and you're controlling the ringtone notification volume. Yep. And then if you quickly transition to YouTube and you still have this dialogue up, you keep pressing the volume buttons, you will still control ringtone, even if media has started playing. Because the UI was still up. What we've changed in O is that as soon as something else start playing, we substitute the on-screen volume control to what is currently playing. Okay. So if you go home screen to YouTube and something starts playing in YouTube, we don't wait for the dialogue to time out, for the volume dialogue to time out. We immediately switch to media volume.
I see. And I think they must have also maybe requesting audio sooner than the videos actually. Because, you know, often there's buffering. And that's the part where, like, yes, I want to stop it before it's playing.
Yeah, the buffering is the issue. But that's where set volume control stream in your activity is important, because that's how you can... and enable the user to control the right volume
immediately, before audio is going through.
Yes,
perfect. So that's another really important tip for everyone. Please. So,
yeah. Or maybe happening is that you experience the behavior that Jean-Michel just described, and every time you launch a YouTube video, you lower your ringtone just a little bit before you lower the actual video
volume. Well, I'm pretty sure that it's when I go, this is a video. Because it's often like one of those
things. Like, it's on screen,
you click
right.
a link from, you know, Google Plus, Twitter or something, and then it comes like, oh, YouTube, let me turn it down. So it's already, the player's there, but it's not playing yet. That was the critical time when, you know, you were like, please let me control it before it's playing.
In a web browser or like the Reddit app, like you don't, you're referring to other content. So you don't know, like it might be perfectly okay for this application to not change the volume control stream in the activity class, because they're not playing the sounds,
but they
send you to links, so they're not responsible for that in a way. If they send you to another app, if it's using a built-in player, then the app should do the right thing and switch. So when you have apps like a chat app, volume control stream can change over the lifetime of the app and what the user is doing. So like let's say you're chatting maybe and you're playing notifications to say you got a new chat, so you want to control the notification volume. But then once you go to the video call, then you want to switch to the stream voice call that changes the volume of the incoming sound.
Wow.
That was a lot of new information. I feel like Tor and I learned a lot.
Yes.
So the things to remember, stream types are for the whole system, not just your app. Audio focus is your friend to have the proper behavior with other applications, but verify with a test with other apps to see that you're correctly responding to phone calls and notifications. And use audio attributes instead of stream types for all your playback, so that the system knows why you are playing audio and what you are playing, so it can do the right thing for example, with audio focus.
All right. Perfect ending. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.